Been to a creepy place? Share the story with us with Dr. Bob Curran as we talk about his work, The World's Creepiest Places, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're talking about the world's creepiest places with Dr. Bob Curran. We're going to take your phone calls this hour as well. Bob, when you wrote the book, what approach did you first take? I mean, how did you know what direction to go?
Well, one of the things was, as I said at the start of the interview, that we weren't looking at just ghosts or something like that. That would have been the world's most haunted places. So we had to look at something which would give us a sort of tingle up the spine. Now, that's not easy to define, George, because there are as many creepy places as there are people in the world. Because everybody, we talked about it being a response. Everybody responds to a place in a different way. As I said, my wife will not walk into Lepp Castle in County Offaly. It didn't affect me. We did another radio program one time from an old abandoned prison. And there was a group of us. We were doing a live broadcast from it. And the presenter wanted to go down to the condemned cell. So we went down to the condemned cell where there had been a number of hangings. And I have to explain to you, George, that there is the place where the prisoner was brought in to be hanged, and sure. Then there's a drop, and then there's a cell or a room underneath and into which the prisoner falls. So we went into the place underneath where the prisoner would have come down, and where this was in the middle of the night, of course. And the presenter went in, and he said, "Oh, I'm going in," and he went in the total dark. And he came out in about 4 seconds and said, "I cannot stand this place. It's so creepy. I cannot stand." So he turned to me and he said, "Bob, will you go in?" And I went in, George, and I found it the most comfortable room in the place.
Really?
Yeah. I was in it for half an hour and I fell asleep. how we respond is very different. Now, by the same token, I was doing a lecture in Germany, and a crowd of us went up to Belsen. We were invited up to go up to the concentration camp. Now, I found that incredibly spooky, but that was my response. I found that incredibly disturbing, I should say. But that was my response to what had went on there, the mass execution of a number of Jewish people. So we respond very differently in different ways. So the criteria was difficult to match up. But what I've tried to do is give as broad a picture as I want. There are ghosts certainly in that, but there are other things which may give us the creeps. There are, as I say, places between one world and another. There are places where the personality of a person hangs over the entire area, not only in Warleggan, as we've been talking about, but in Cabell and Buckfastleigh in England. Richard Cabell was, of course, the
Sherlock Holmes, right?
Sir Hugo Baskerville in Conan Doyle's The Hound of the Baskervilles, the great Sherlock Holmes novel. And me being a big Sherlock Holmes fan, I had to include at least one.
Well, that's a great thing. Hey, let's take some calls here for you, Bob. Let's go west of the Rockies. Carl in Santa Maria, California. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, George and Dr. Curran, good evening.
Hi.
I wanted to know if Dr. Curran has written about any aerial phenomenon associated with some of these creepy places.
All right. Of any of these creepy places, Bob, have you seen or heard of any UFO-type reports?
Not as such, Carl, and hello to you, Carl. Not as such. There are queer places. One of the creepiest places that I did visit, which gave me a bit of a chill, was an uninhabited island, and I mentioned it in the book, where three lighthouse men disappeared. Now, nobody knows why they disappeared. They disappeared at the start of the 1900s. One of the theories is that they have been carried away by aliens. But we are not 100% sure. It could be a place where two different worlds collide. In fact, on Lewis, which is near it, it's referred to as the other world. But certainly, some of the people on Gallon Head on the island of Lewis have seen queer lights in the sky overhead, so there might well be UFOs about, George.
All right, next up we go to our Skype line, and we've got Mike in Topeka, Kansas. Mike, go ahead. You there? Nope. Let's go to Jordan in Burbank, California. Jordan, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good. Good to have you with us.
So I've been to a very creepy location. It's called Dudley Town. It is a ghost town in rural northwest Connecticut where I used to live. I wonder if Bob had ever heard of it.
I hadn't at all, but I do know that some of the old ghost towns can be very creepy. I have been to a place called Conquest in New Mexico, and it's just an old, it's actually an old boom town, and was at one time used by the military as a base. But some of these can you tell me a wee bit about this town yourself? You've been there, and you say it's very, very creepy.
Very creepy indeed. It was founded back in the early 1700s, possibly late 1600s. It was one of the very first settlements in Connecticut. And whoever settled there just met with the worst luck imaginable up until the early 1900s. Some people committed suicide. There was raids from local tribes. One person was struck by lightning, and people that go there today report just this very, very eerie eeriness to the place. No wildlife. I went there a senior year of college. I didn't even hear any birds. It was very, very bizarre. And the structures are still there. The foundations of these houses. These stone houses, and it's just, it's very bizarre. And a lot of people have taken a lot of photos of ghostly orbs and recorded EVPs there. And it was definitely a place that I don't know if I would go back to.
I don't blame you. Bob, what makes these places haunted and creepy?
Well, part of it, George, is the associations. Whenever he was talking, I was thinking of a place which I have actually been to and which sounds very like that. And that is a place called Dogtown in Cape Ann in Massachusetts. And that has all sorts of associations because the people who lived there were considered, many of them were what today we would call down and outs. They were the sort of lower strata of
the unfortunate ones
and society. But some of them were known as witches. I'm thinking of Tamsin Younger, Judy Rimes, some of them were the widows of Gloucester seamen from Gloucester, Massachusetts, and were destitute and had lived up there. So some of them lived by telling fortunes. Some of them lived by supposed magic, things like that. One of them, Tammy Younger, was considered to be a vampire. So you have all these connotations, and I'm not at all surprised that you go along these sort of dead, long dead places and know these stories, and everything comes together in your mind, and this gives you this creepy feeling. And whenever we're walking through somewhere like Dogtown, or you have the feeling you're being watched, even though there's no one there, George.
No one at all. Next up, we go to Mark in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Mark. Thanks.
Good evening, George. Dr. Corain, pleasure to talk to you all.
Thank you.
Morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have a creepy place to tell you about.
All right.
In the late 70s, early 80s, I was in the Air Force and Security Police. I was stationed at Loring Air Force Base, Maine. The nuclear weapons storage area up there had two old buildings in it. The base had been there since the early 50s. They flew B-36s there before they flew B-52s out of there. And the nuclear weapons storage area had two old buildings in it that they used to use to assemble the nukes when they had to put them together. They were sealed up by the time I was stationed up there, but one was called the Bank and the other one was called the Vamp House. And our nicknames for them, basically, people would see red eyes glowing out of the doorway of the Vamp House from time to time, even though it was sealed up. And in the Bank, it was basically a two-story concrete building, but there were two towers in front of it that had gun slots in the top of the towers. And the only way to access those towers was underground, and it was all sealed up. So they kind of took on a life of their own and a legend of their own amongst the security police forces, since we were out there at all times of day and night.
That's a great story. Many places. You know, Bob, you could have written about 55 more other places easy.
George, I could have written about three more books, never mind the 50 other places. I could have written a whole thing because, as I say, there are so many creepy places as there are people who can respond to them. There are, Mark was talking there about nuclear assemblage.
Yeah.
I was immediately thinking of a place which I'd been told about in Germany, where something similar had happened. People heard voices. It was an army depot in the center of an incredibly busy city. It was used for the storage of tanks. And they kept hearing voices, they kept hearing sounds. Tanks started up without any sort of reason. So there's all sorts of places all over the place. I could have written, and perhaps there could be a creepy, world's creepiest places too coming out. You never know, George.
You never know. Let's go east of the Rockies. Robin is in Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Robin.
Hi, George. Hi, Doctor. We had this nursing home like when I was a kid, and they used to say that there was abuses that happened, but nobody ever did anything about it. Well, they finally closed the place, and later on, like when I was grown, they made a residential place, and my daughter-in-law was working there. Well, they've had a lot of people that got run over on the train tracks back there, and drowned in this lake. And anyway, my husband and I went down there to visit her, and there's like you go through the hallway, the lobby, and that's where the kitchen is. And she's saying, oh, well, you know, this place kind of, that's weird, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, and this is in the middle of summer, and the air conditioning's not very well, very good and everything. So I go through there, you know, past the kitchen a little bit, and it starts getting colder and colder and colder. And this was like a... like another corridor, you know, they weren't using it at the time, you know, with the rooms, you know, the hallway with the rooms on either side.
Uh-huh.
And I start seeing shadows going across, back and forth.
Very creepy, Robin. It reminds me, and I mentioned it in the book, of an old sanitarium in Louisville, Kentucky, and the Waverly Hills. And you have cold spots which you have talked about, the chill spots. You have shadows seen in that, and there's supposed to be ghosts coming and going. A nurse is supposed to have hanged herself in room 51 within the building. But what you're describing, you wouldn't get me in a place like that, Robin.
Not at all. Let's go to West Babylon, New Jersey. Tom Stern, no, he's not ready, but Randy in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, George, I'd like to say I really love this show. It's really opened up my eyes a lot, and a lot of people that I have contact with is really enlightening them on a lot of things. But I have a story of a friend of mine has, he raised horses up in Kentucky, up in Lexington.
Okay.
And on his property, there's a slave quarters where I guess they had the slaves, and, you know, he told me they was tortured and, you know, God knows what happened in there, but he bet me that I couldn't stay in there no longer than a minute.
Before you panicked and ran out, huh?
Exactly. So I'm gonna man up and try to take this bet from him. So the minute that he closed the door, my legs automatically started shaking. My knees was knocking together, and my heart rate increased, and chills came over me. And I was like, what did this come from? You know, and I was like, oh, it must be something in this, a presence still in this slave quarters or whatever, man. And I just wanted to share that experience with you because before that, I was a skeptic on.
So you felt that, huh?
Yes, I actually felt it. It's like the minute, the second the door closed, because there wasn't any light. There was just a little peephole from old wood. You know, it was old wood dated back hundreds of years, I guess. And the minute the door closed, you know, the sun kind of like shined through the light, the wood a little bit. And it was dark. And my legs just automatically start shaking, man. My heart rate, my heart rate increased, and I was just like, "What is this?" But I stayed a minute, and I won a bet, and I was never a non-believer from this point on, man.
What do you think of that, Bob?
Yeah, old slave quarters are creepy places indeed. In fact, I was down in slave quarters, and I can empathize with this because I was down in old slave quarters down in South Carolina, and they are creepy places, I can tell you. The ghosts of the old slaves, which has been pointed out, were probably may have been tortured or something. And that brings me to another point, George. Can people's misery transfer themselves into their surroundings?
I think there's no question about that, Bob. That's absolutely true. And stay with us. We're going to talk more as we get into the world's creepiest places. And we'll take final phone calls with Bob Gurin before we go to open lines. Would you like to learn how to talk to the dead? Well, you can. Our book is now available. Comes out in bookstores on Tuesday. You can pick it up on Amazon.com right now for a steep discount. Just go to Amazon.com and in the search, put in Talking to the Dead, and you'll find our book that we wrote with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And have some fun. It's a good read. People are really telling me that those who have had advanced copies, that they really enjoy it. Back in a moment with Dr. Bob Curran and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Bob, what creates that creepiness feeling?
Well, George, I think it's a number of things that we put together in our minds. It can be the appearance of the place. Now, you can go to an old and sort of dilapidated place, and it makes you feel a bit off. You feel a bit uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be the associations of the place. You go to a place where something terrible has happened, and that's what we were talking about earlier. Can, let's say, great misery, we talked about the slave quarters, can great misery sometimes transfer itself into the surroundings? Because let's say you lose your temper, George. You're sending out energy. You're sending out aggressive energy. Where does that energy go? Does it go into the surrounding locations? And later on, if I come along and I'm sensitive enough, can I pick that up?
I bet you can.
It's like recording something. You record something on an old-style tape recorder. I come along and press the play button. Can I access that in my feelings? So that could be a notion of creepiness. Then people will tell you a place is creepy, a place is haunted, a place is... So you're expecting, you're anticipating. You want to be frightened. All these things come together. I'm impressed with the guy who said he was closed up in the slave quarters, because all those things, the sort of old-style place, the things which had been going on there, and the sense of anticipation all come together and give him the fright of his life. So... And he said, as soon as the door closed and he was on his own and he was doing all his mental processing himself, that all came together.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We shall. Weston, West Virginia, first-time caller, is Jack. Go ahead, Jack.
Good evening, George and Dr. Bob.
Hi.
I have to
Hello,
be honest.
Jack. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. I have to be honest, I haven't had a chance to read your book, but I was just wondering if you have heard of our facility here in West and West Virginia, or the Moundsville State Prison in Moundsville. But I was going to talk about our mental facility here in Weston.
I haven't heard. I have heard of it, Jack. But you can tell me a wee bit about it.
Okay. Well, basically, it was all of the above. What you and George had just talked about the facility itself is very intimidating. Just looking at it from the outside, and once you get inside, it just progressively gets worse. I mean, everything. It's well documented. Ghost Hunters has been there, and some other of those type TV shows have been there and documented everything from cold spots, people being pushed, hair pulled, apparitions galore, EVPs galore, shadows, doors slamming. It just goes on and on and on. If you and your wife are ever in stateside, you've got to come here to West Virginia and visit our mental hospital.
I am writing it down even as we're talking, Jack, on my list of places to go and things to do.
There you go.
Either there or the Moundsville State Prison. There are a lot of things that have been documented there also. As far as creepy places, West Virginia has a number of them. Everything from Mothman to the Braxton County Monster, our Weston State Hospital, the Moundsville State Prison. It just goes on and on and on. So come on to West Virginia and get your pants scared off of you.
You got it. That's a deal. Go for it, Bob.
We got it.
Let's go to Greenville, South Carolina. Terry's with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Terry.
Hello, George. How you doing?
We're good.
Listen, I was when I read about what the subject of tonight's program was going to be, I said I have to call in because just last weekend I was on a sightseeing trip up to upstate New York, and I was on Route 5 going through a town called Palatine Bridge. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a mansion. It was covered by trees almost, but I said, I've got to turn around and get a closer look. So I turned around and parked in a nearby CVS, and got out. And I guarantee you, this house looks like it's straight out of central casting from the Munsters. It's called the Webster Wagner House, and apparently somebody who invented a Pullman car or something had built it, and it was dilapidated, falling apart. And like I say, the old trees with the creepy branches were covering it, and it just it looked like if anything was haunted, this had to have been haunted.
Good point. Good point.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
I was down in another part of the world, and a man said, if that house isn't haunted, it should be. So the Webster House sounds exactly like that, something out of Psycho.
Well, perfect indeed. Let's go next to Modesto, California. Jim's west of the Rockies. Jim, go ahead. You're on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, how y'all doing tonight?
Good, Jim.
Well, when I was growing up, there was an old Victorian house. It was a two-story level, and it was in the middle of a walnut orchard. And apparently, back during Prohibition, they took this house over, and they gambled, drank, and did whatever. And apparently, you know, what I understood from going to the library, that there had been maybe three or four people that were shot and killed and buried out there. And, well, as kids, you know, during Halloween, we liked to go to these places, you know. And my brother and I went there. We went inside, and my brother said, well, we got to get out of here. So we started. And at the time I got to the door, I had a 2-inch cut on my left leg.
Jeez.
And that's the last time we've been there.
Evil. What did they want with you?
Pardon me?
What did they want with you?
I don't know. I do not know. I was terrified. I thought maybe I cut my leg on a nail or something.
Uh-huh.
Home, and my dad said, I don't know what you got cut with, but it wasn't a nail.
Uh-huh.
Took 2 stitches in my leg.
Well,
and
that sounds as if it could be, George was asking me, could you be hurt?
Right.
It seems like you can be hurt by some of these things in old creepy places. People will try and explain it away and say, well, look, it's a nail. You've caught yourself on a piece of wood or something, but sometimes it just doesn't stack up. So thank you very much, Jim.
These entities mean business sometimes.
They did, and I was starting to tell you about a place I went to, and I'm frightened of heights, but I went up this place, which is called Skellig Michael. It's not in the book, and it's a place which is an island just off the coast of Kerry, and you climb away up steps to it, a place called Christ's Saddle. There was an old monastery there in the 8th century. And we went up to it, and I swore that something tried to push me off the edge, because there's a massive drop, and I am not good with heights, George. But I swore that as I climbed up there, because you're climbing up a straight rock face with these steps, something actually tried to push at me. So there can be all sorts of entities floating about, and we're not sure what they might be. But as Jim says, they might want to do you harm.
Yeah, they may be. Let's go to Windsor, Connecticut. John's turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, John.
Hi, George. Hi. Before I ask my question, you have to do more of these shows that just scare people's death. I just love them. The adoptions get me. I can't even leave my room after you start telling those tales. But my question is, what are some of the places that you didn't put in the book that you're afraid to, that actual living people have gone and gotten hurt or actually gotten killed?
Well, there are some places, as I say, places like Skellig Michael. Now, we went there because there is also a lighthouse there. I didn't include it because but the two keepers went mad there. I suppose you could say that that is a form of getting hurt, because they actually lost their wits and were committed to a hospital.
Well, there are other places where people claim to have a bit like Jim, who was our earlier caller, who have been hurt, who have got bruises. There are places where people are alleged to have been killed and or died from fright. Or places like that, certain old cemeteries, and I won't say too much about it because people tend to go there. And as George says, people tend to go and get frightened and maybe finish up with more than they bargained for. But places like that, there are places in the world, and I didn't include some of these places in the book. Simply because you don't want people heading off to get hurt or something to happen to them. I will tell you that one of the creepiest places that I went to was in Sicily, in Palermo, which is a sort of catacombs. Now, I can fully expect the people to be wandering around there out of their minds because they're underground. They're filled with the skeletons of the dead, all sitting in poses all around, bodies in glass coffins, things like that. So that's a scary place and can drive you almost to the edge of madness, I would believe.
Well, it could be. We have Knoxville, Tennessee, and Travis on Coast to Coast. Hi, Travis.
Hey, guys. Hi, Bob. It's an honor to be speaking to the foremost authority on spooky things around.
He's up there, that's for sure.
Thank you very much. I enjoy listening to you, I think, more than most guests that they have on. I've been listening for, 20 years.
Good for you. Thank you.
Very much. The first time I've called, I've got, 30 different experiences I could talk about. And on this subject, I've got about, four or five. I'll just make it quick. There's a place I lived up in Cleveland, Ohio. There's a place south of Cleveland called Helltown. They had a bus or something in the place. It was an old school. It was another abandoned place. And apparently some 20, 30 people died in some horrific accident and they closed the place down. And one night we went to visit, some bridge out there, which was one of the biggest bridges I've ever seen, way out in the middle of the country. And the people in town were calling it Crybaby Bridge. And they said that a long time ago, someone threw, a kid off the bridge. And at night you could hear a kid crying, and I was 100% skeptical of that until I got up there, and there was a faint cry,
You could hear it.
Yeah. It was kind of, it wasn't creepy, but it was a little bit. To get to my big story, though, I've been a security guard for a long time, and I'm sure you probably get stories from security guards routinely because, we're sent into the jowls of some of these, entity-ridden places.
Sure.
And I worked in, I worked in a place, if you guys seen the movies, Mirrors or whatever.
Yeah.
I worked in a place just like that in Cleveland, and the old Macy's, and it had, it was all shut down. It had the, an old barbershop, an old hospital, 100 years old. And, I heard voices in that building. I lasted 2 days in that place. I got a new job. And in the other places, there was another place that I worked. I'd never seen a ghost before. That place, I saw one, but it was very peaceful. And then to compare with that, there was another place I worked, the Fifth Third building, up there. And I just wanted to kind of advise you maybe to check out some of these big city 200-year-old buildings where, people have imprinted their lives. Some of them are peaceful business-type places, but there's ghosts and stuff. And there was one place, though, the Fifth Third building. I worked there for about 3 years, and after a while, I would not patrol the hallways because there was a furnace, the heater, and they ran along all the floors. And I kept asking my bosses about it, and they said, oh, you know, it just turns on once in a while. But I swear that thing only turned on when I was in the hallway, and there was something with four legs that was chasing me out of the hallway.
Jeez, what do you think it was?
And scared me half to... You had to picture something in your mind, and, you know, to me, it was some type of demon. It was some type of four-legged, you know, malevolent force. I mean, it was, you know, whatever it was, you know, I could sense it almost everywhere I went in that building, and that it did not want me around because, you know, especially at night, I'm the only person walking the hallways, and this thing has control over the building at night or something. But, you know, I literally after a while stayed in my desk for 4 years. I was afraid. Never in my experience have I been afraid to walk in a hallway somewhere, but that place, certainly did me in.
Well, indeed it is. Bob, where do you get your book, The World's Creepiest Places?
You can get it on Amazon, George, or you can get it on Barnes & Noble. You can buy it in all good bookstores right across America, and I have never been in a bad bookstore yet.
No, you have not, my friend. Thank you so much. Bob Curran, live from Ireland. It's a Halloween nightmare, the world's creepiest places. In addition to open lines, we're going to continue with the theme tonight on Coast to Coast AM. If you want to share some of your stories about creepy places, we'll go ahead. Plus, we've got open lines coming up in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's George at Coast, T-O, coasttocoastam.com. Let's get ready for open lines.